This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking today with Wade Hampton, who's the director of the Champaign County YMCA. Welcome, Wade.
Thank you.
This is a live call-in program, and we'll be giving phone numbers in a bit for listeners to call in. We're talking with Wade about the power of prevention. Now, the Y works with a lot of adults. It has programs for adults, facilities for adults, all sorts of things. But you really do focus on kids and children who are developing, adolescents. So why do you do that?
Well, we believe in the future. We believe in positive impact on a community that's best done through working with kids. Kids become adults. Adults raise kids. It's a very logical spot to start.
When did you start first working with kids personally?
Well, that's a good question. I started in the Y. I can't say exactly. It had to be in my teen years that I started working with kids, but I started working with the Y shortly after leaving college.
Where'd you go to college?
In Iowa. It's a little small college, Northwestern College in Orange City, Iowa. Huh. But I actually was living with some friends in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and on a snowy night, in fact, December 12th, about 23 years ago, I walked into a Y to play basketball and met a program director there who needed some help with some teen programs, and I was new to town, and I thought, I can help you. Huh. I was offering to volunteer. He was offering to pay. Somewhere we figured out that each was offering something different, but I ended up getting paid for it. That was just fine.
And so you started working with adolescents at that point.
Absolutely, uh-huh. Yeah. And in fact, my work with teens, where it really flourished and my love for the Y grew, was that everything that I wished that I could have done as a kid, I got to do as this person directing this teen program. Huh. And boy, I thought, boy, if we could deliver more of this to kids, then it could only be healthy for them.
Did you grow up in Minneapolis?
No, Chicago's my hometown.
Oh, Chicago.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, in fact, I was going to tell you a story, and then you've given me the segue. Going to go with it. When I was I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, I was on a baseball team, and my coach was Mr. Johnson. And I remember Mr. Johnson as if it was yesterday. And every year he would call my family and say, we're starting the baseball season and can Wade play? But one particular year I'm up to bat and I swing and I just feel like I've just knocked this thing out of the park and I'm running around first and I hear the crowd roar and I'm at second and the crowd is screaming even more. And at third, they're just beside themselves and I'm thinking, I really stroke this one. And as I get to home plate, there's Mr. Johnson standing there, and he looks down at me as I cross home plate, and my arm's up in the air, and he says, Wade, it was a foul ball.
Oh.
And I went ahead and finished my strikeout. In fact, I think the 3 or 4 years that I played baseball, I never got a hit. But the important part of that, and this is where we talk about prevention, Ed, is that what I did learn from him is you don't give up. You work at things that you're not good at.
Huh.
There's some very good values that at the time I couldn't tell you that I was receiving. Uh-huh. But because somebody took the time to care for me and cared about me whether I was a great athlete or not, then I think much of the person that I am today was defined by people who helped me along the way. And that's part of what the Y is about and what I'm talking about when I make the reference to prevention.
Now, when you went to college in Iowa, did you have the support of your family? Was that something that was just sort of expected of you, or was that unusual?
To go to college?
Go to college.
I think it was an expectation. I know it was an expectation. You heard it often. That was pretty clear. So, yes, there was support from my family. Mm-hmm. But I think beyond that, too, though, that there's always a world around you. I played for a football coach that made that a priority in high school, that was an important piece. And you had school administrators that only made reference to completing your life by going to college. Mm-hmm. So I heard that over and over again, which may or may not be a unique experience for folks in the public school system, but
in Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, but for me, it was loud and clear, and that was your only option.
Huh. And when you first became employed by the YMCA, where did you go?
Well, I started at the Minneapolis YMCA. And I worked there for 6 years doing a variety of different things. At the same time, I was working for a corporation now known as the Target Corporation, but at one time was the Dayton Hudson Corporation. Hmm. Worked for them full-time, worked for the Y part-time. But I kept finding more things to do with the Y.
Huh.
And at one point, I had two full-time jobs.
Oh, really?
And just decided that my true love was the work that I was doing with the Y and that I should continue that as a career. And did so. Worked in Minneapolis for 6 years. Went to Lansing, Michigan. Stayed there another 6 years.
At what position?
There I was a program director.
Explain what that is to listeners who may not know.
Okay, a program director organizes various different activities. For example, youth sports is one of the things that I organize. So football, basketball, floor hockey, indoor soccer, outdoor soccer, t-ball. I put together the programs and made sure the information got to parents and schedules and fields and all the things that you set up took place. Mm-hmm. And I guess if there was a way to describe a program director, I'm the organizer. I'm the event planner.
Okay.
And I planned the events, and I did that for a period of time. And then I think a year or two before I left there, I became the executive director of the Y that I was working at.
Was that in Lansing?
That was in Lansing, yes. Huh. As the executive director, you are in charge of a lot of administrative things, fundraising being a large portion of it, board development, volunteer development, having more people involved in the organization. Hmm. It's a fun job, too. I think you know that, though.
And then when you left Lansing, where did you go?
Lansing, I went to San Jose, California.
Oh, big change.
Yeah, decided to go to the other side of the world. And from San Jose, I went to Kankakee, Illinois. And Kankakee was my first CEO job, where I was overall of an association as opposed to looking at one particular branch.
I see. So this would be a group of Y's that were under your direction.
Mm-hmm. That's correct, yes.
And so what appealed to you to come to leave Kankakee in that position to come to the Champaign County Y?
Challenge.
Okay.
The Y had great potential, but was not necessarily fulfilling that potential, at least according to its volunteers. And I saw promise of what it could be. This is a fantastic community. I thought that before I came in, and I still believe that 4 years later, that this is a great place to live, and that there's opportunity to serve in very real and unique ways, and that if we focused ourselves and focused our resources in that manner, that we could do some really good work in this community.
Now, the YMCA has an interesting history in that it's kind of a volunteer-led organization. What does that mean to you?
Well, as far as direction, you know, my role is to carry out whatever the roadmap is, that our volunteers do the strategic planning for the organization and decide where it wants to go and who it wants to serve and how it wants to go about serving it. And then I'm kind of back into a larger role of event planning and directing of how they want how they want these things to happen.
And what's your YMCA like? I mean, I should tell listeners perhaps that I grew up in Champaign-Urbana and that my parents took me to that Y when I was a kid, and I learned to swim there. I went to day camp there. We sat in that old McKinley mansion and played all kinds of games and sang songs and learned things and had fun. But what's it like today?
That still exists. That hasn't changed. I would explain the Y as being a place with multiple personalities, and that if you're an adult and wellness is part of one of your interests, then there's many opportunities for you there. If you're looking for opportunities to volunteer in the community and to work with kids and to give back to the community, that exists at the YMCA. If you're in need of after-school care or child care for your children while you work, that exists at the YMCA. If you want activities that your kids are involved in to develop your skills or develop your leadership abilities, that exists at the Y. It has multiple different looks. It all depends on how and what you want to be involved in.
We're talking on Keeping the Faith today with Wade Hampton, who's the executive director of the Champaign County YMCA. People who would like to call and learn more about those programs during the week may call 359-9622 to reach Champaign County Y. Wade, as we talk today about the power of prevention, when you've got all these programs for kids, for daycare and after school care and summer school and all these athletic programs, what is it preventing? What are you accomplishing? We could ask it positively too, of course.
Okay, thank you. I think what you're accomplishing is growing responsible adults, people who care for the community and give back to the community. And that the end goal is have a community of caring people. That's the most important piece. If we could, Steve, I actually want to introduce something that our Y is working on, and I know you're involved in it, and other agencies are involved too, and that's a thing we call the 40 developmental assets.
Tell us about what those are.
Okay, 40 developmental assets. There's a group out of Minneapolis, Minnesota called the Search Institute, and they've done years of research. I think there's over a million kids they've done research on, and one thing they found is that irregardless of where kids live or what their parents earn or what their circumstances might be, that most kids can grow up healthy if they're given a healthy amount of assets.
And healthy, not just physically, but socially, mentally, psychologically.
That's correct.
Okay.
And the assets, there's a internal and external kind of thing that happens with the asset. The first set of them is about what happens around kids, what kind of positive environment that exists for young people. And then the internal assets is more about what young people need to fully engage and function in the world around them. And when you hear what the assets are, for example, having four adults in your life other than your parents, they're fairly simple things
that
to
you
do.
Know that mean that care about you, that know
the,
you,
the
that
care about you,
that's
invested
you.
In you, absolutely. Huh. Yeah.
So you might have a teacher. Who else might you have?
Well, for me, I had a series of different coaches.
Huh.
Coaches. That that became an important component. For someone else, it might be a mentor. It can come in a lot of different forms.
Okay.
As long as they're there.
I want to hear some more about developmental assets and have you give us some more examples, but let me just interrupt for a quick moment and encourage listeners who would like to call. If you have a question for our guest today, Wade Hampton, please give us a ring. Anywhere the program is heard, you may call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. If you're in Champaign-Urbana, do call us on a local line. You can reach several of those by punching in 333-9455. So local lines, 333-WILL, elsewhere, 1-800-222-WILL. So tell us, give me another one of these developmental assets that the Search Institute has come up with that are so helpful to organizations that are trying to prevent problems in the future.
Okay, well, one of the ones that I just talked with you about was about having other adults involved in your life, and that's part of their support system.
Right.
Another part of the support system is caring neighborhoods, and the kids feel that their neighbors care about them. And then a third one is that they feel safe in their neighborhood. And an interesting thing that I did about 4 or 5 months ago with my 16-year-old was I handed him these 40 developmental assets.
This is your own child.
My own child. And I said, circle the ones that you believe are happening for you. And I decided I need to tell you before we get rolling that I would accept whatever his answers were and not argue. What he didn't circle shocked me more than what he circled. And I believe he circled 23 of the 40. But one that he left out that I found alarming was that he didn't feel safe in his neighborhood. So I would let a couple of days go by, and I decided I would ask him, why don't you feel safe in your own neighborhood?
Sure.
And his answer was an answer that I understand. I don't necessarily like it, but I understand it. And that was, I don't know any of the people that live around us. So I don't feel safe here. And I reflect back on my childhood. I grew up in Chicago. There were probably 40 homes on the block that I lived on. I can tell you that I knew every single family.
Really?
And they knew me. And I mean, I knew everyone within the household. And they knew
and their
me.
Dog.
And their dog, too. That's right. And if I did something wrong at the other end of the block, I couldn't race home fast enough to tell my version. They would beat me down there. Where today I live on a, my neighborhood has 8 homes on the block that I live.
So quite a much fewer people.
Much fewer people. Yeah. And I can say that I know half of my neighbors. I know them. But my son doesn't feel a comfort level where he knows any of them.
And they may not know him.
That's correct.
We have a caller on line one. Let's go to our caller. You're on Keeping the Faith with our guest, Wade Hampton. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. I have two questions and a comment. One, I raised three boys. I'm 68 years old, obviously. I think prevention is very, very important. I mean, we involve them. We were involved with our kids, and I think that sports are very, very helpful. The question I heard you say that you need to do something that you're not good at. Can you elaborate on that? And then I'll hang up and listen to your opinion. And thanks for being on Keeping the Faith.
Thank you. Well, it's easy, and we're in a video generation, you know, where kids plug in a video game, and if you're not winning, you turn it off and turn it back on until you're winning. But I think that that most of the things that help us grow challenge us, and that if we're going to push for kids to grow, then we have to push ourselves outside our comfort level. And my best example to you is that I never, ever intended to be a public speaker. But I find myself now in settings where I'm in front of 300, 200, 100 people and talking about the YMCA.
And on the radio, several thousand. Yeah.
And on the radio, yes. Someone pushed me out there. Somebody told me to take a chance at this. And I can tell you that I probably wasn't very good at it, and I'm not so sure how good I'm at it now. So.
Psychologists say that the most common fear people have is that actually of public speaking in public, speaking in front of a group. When did you first start to do that where you felt kind of at ease at it?
I don't know if I'm ever totally at ease.
Okay, so you're still anxious or?
Yeah. Uh-huh. This is an organization that I know and love. It's easy to talk about.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a field that I believe in, and therefore I can.
You're enthusiastic.
Go out and talk about it and
right.
go forward.
Uh-huh.
I often find that a lot of skills that kids later master, they're not very good at in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and that they just need to work at it, and people need to prod them along. And sometimes you need to do what would be easily for you to give up. You need to keep at it. And you just need the right people around you telling you to keep pushing forward.
Hmm. Let's get back to some of these developmental assets that you work in your organization, the Champaign County YMCA, trying to develop in youth and kids, teens. You mentioned the importance of feeling safe in a neighborhood and gave the example of your own son who just didn't know the neighbors these days. And in Illinois, when it gets cold, people just pull into their drives after or garages after pushing the button to make the door go up, and then you're in your house, you don't even see your neighbors for months sometimes.
Absolutely, right. Yeah, and we're just transient people. Our neighbors are constantly turning over. We have a challenge of making our kids feel safe in the community that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things around this whole asset piece, too, and I guess one of the things that I would want to emphasize is that we're not talking about specific programs, because when I've talked to other agencies about being involved with the 40 development assets, the first reaction is, what programs can we run?
Mm-hmm.
And there's really a shift about how we operate in the community. And one of the things, especially with high school age kids, is that kids know they're not valued.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty clear about that. And that, in fact, if something goes wrong for a teen in the paper, it's going to tell you teen robs local store or whatever the ad might be, but it's going to emphasize that it was a teen.
It doesn't say 50-year-old robbed store.
Absolutely not. And a lot of times, and this happens with my 16-year-old, I'll be introducing my son to somebody, and they'll say, boy, I bet he's a handful. And he's being told, I mean, point blank, when I'm standing there, he's being told that we anticipate that you will be a problem.
Uh-huh.
So part of the assets is let's treat our kids as the value that they are. They are valuable to us, and that there are, again, very simple things that we can do that will help them grow into responsible adults. One of them in particular is family boundaries, that the rules are clear, that you the kids want to know where the lines are drawn. And then I think common today is a lot of people continue to not want to draw the lines, to give kids their freedom. But that's not really what kids are looking for. They want to know where out of bounds is at and expect that the adult will hold them accountable to it.
I know when my wife and I had teenagers, we were often considered sort of too liberal by our friends and the parents of our children's friends, particularly when they were teens and we felt that they needed to start taking responsibility for themselves. We didn't have a curfew. We let our kids decide where to go. We tried to know where they were, and we wanted to, if they were, we had a rough idea when they'd be coming home, but we didn't have a definite time. And I know that maybe that's not having enough boundaries, but it worked pretty well generally with our two. Maybe that's just because of who they were. I don't know.
Well, Steve, when I make reference to boundaries, you have expectations.
Sure.
Then those expectations are the boundaries.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And while your need to define when to come home or not come home isn't important to you, and it may be important to another parent,
mm-hmm.
there may be some other things that you're explicit about,
mm-hmm.
what you're going to be doing when you're out and about, and what my expectations are for you and your performance when you're out in the public.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe very clear boundaries, and what the consequences of exceeding those boundaries, you might have outlined too. So it doesn't necessarily, you know, there's no blueprint that says you have to do this, 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 and this. But what is clear is that you have to have some boundaries for your family.
Now, when the Search Institute in Minneapolis came up with this, did this research and talked to these million kids about, and discovered what it takes to sort of help them develop into healthy adults, how many of these assets did they have to have before they sort of felt comfortable about it? What should parents think about?
The study said that for most kids, the average number of assets that they had were around 18.
I see.
And that they thought the ideal thing would be to have 30 or uh-huh. more.
Okay, out of the 40.
But 18 is the average right now.
So less than a half.
But if you were less than 18, mm-hmm. then they could point specifically in their study at some of the behaviors, or social misbehaviors, I should say, the kids found themselves involved in.
Hmm.
It would be no surprise to you that the kids who scored the lowest on the number of assets did the worst in school.
Okay.
Or may have found themselves in trouble in the juvenile system.
Mm-hmm.
Or may have found problems with drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So that won't surprise you. And sure. The kids that did very well were just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one of the conferences that I attend, because I've been kind of studying this for about 2 years. One of the conferences that I attend, a principal talked about an experiment that he had in his school. And at the first day of school, and this is before school actually entered, but the planning session for the teachers, he sat some index cards on the table, and he wrote all the kids, each individual kid's name on an index card. But on the back of the card were their grades.
Mm.
But he asked the teachers not to look at the back of the card, just take the names. And he split the wall to the left, put all the kids that we think are doing well.
Mm.
Put those kids up on the left side, and on the right side, put all the kids' names up that aren't doing well or you don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were finished with this little exercise, no surprise to you, A, B, C students on the left side and on the right side are the kids that are failing in the school system.
Mm.
Then his instructions to him was, take two names off the wall, and your job is to get to know these two kids.
Interesting.
Not to be their mentors, uh-huh. not to help them with homework, but just to get to know who they are, huh. know about their family, what things they're involved in. And I believe how it came back was 80% of those names that were taken went from being DNF students to being in the ABC group.
Wow.
And his argument was that we hadn't honored our kids, and that we just took a small sampling, decided to put some effort behind them, let them know that they were important, that somebody did care about them, that the school system was interested in them. We weren't just processing people through. And that's why you saw this dramatic shift from one end to the other.
It goes back to that first developmental asset you mentioned. Do kids and youth and teens have four other adults other than their parents who know about them and who care about them?
Right. Yeah. And the answer sometimes is a surprising no.
Uh-huh.
You would hope for more, but not uh-huh. necessarily that.
Let me ask for listeners to join this conversation in Champaign-Urbana. You may call 333-9455. Elsewhere, anywhere you're listening in the continental U.S., so you can call us on the Internet. And I guess there are some people even overseas who know how to do that. Use our toll-free line, 1-800-222-9455. And we do have another caller on line one. You're on Keeping the Faith with our guest, Wade Hampton. Go ahead.
Hi, I just am really interested in this 40 assets business. And one of the things I'd like to know is how to get a copy of that myself. The other thing is that this idea of having the four caring adults, I think, is really important. I know that one of the things that my husband and I decided to do when we moved and had to live definitely away from family because of job responsibilities and things, was that we tried to create kind of an extended family for our children and became very close to three other families where we shared a lot of child care with those families, and we went back and forth on holidays a lot and did a lot together with those families. and so that the kids did it with the whole family, so that the kids, our kids knew not just those kids, but those parents as well, and those parents knew our kids. And for us, I think that helped me as a parent live away from home and my family and my sense, because I knew that my kids knew knew adults that cared about them. And while they couldn't be as close to their grandparents or their aunts, real aunts and uncles, they had these adults that really were part of their everyday life.
And I would think that's your extended family.
It becomes
kind of made that our extended family. And I know that when we moved here, we weren't as successful, actually, as creating that extended family as we had been before. And I think both of our kids felt the loss of it, and especially my older daughter, who I think didn't have that sense of having, you know, caring adults in the same way that she had earlier.
What was the age of your children when you moved to this community?
My daughter was about 13, and my son was quite a bit younger. He was about 10.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was easier for him to, you know, to recreate caring adults in his background because he was younger. And, you know, he was still involved in, you know, more in sports and things like that than it was actually for, you know, in scouts and things where he can, you know, could connect to those people again than it was for my daughter, who I think was kind of beyond some of those kind of group activities where you get to know the whole family as opposed to just getting to, you know, the kid gets to know the kids and the parents don't really know the kids, know anybody but the kids. They don't know the parents that well.
Was that her first year of middle school?
That was her last year in middle school.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I think it's often when kids are younger that parents seem to be able to make those kind of extended family things happen. I don't know exactly why, but I know in our history that was the case. We were kind of fortunate, I think. We had several other families of parents who were close to our son who we got to know, and he certainly got to know them as well as almost as well as us. And we've stayed friends with them for decades now. It's interesting when that can happen. Of course, with people moving, that's a problem.
Well, I'm probably not different than the caller in that I've been fairly transient and
sure.
moved around. And I would say right now for my 16-year-old, probably the difference in his life is he's playing in athletics.
Ah.
He's connected to a number of coaches.
Uh-huh.
That I have some friends that have taken interest in his athletic activities. But I think I could relate to what our struggles might mm-hmm. be. It's, you want to find the right set of people for your kids to be around, too, so it's not a unselective process. You're fairly selective with it,
right.
if I'm correct.
And the caller was asking, too, how she might get a hold of a copy of these 40 developmental assets. Can we give them her the address, maybe, of the Search Institute?
Yeah, if you go to www.search-institute.org, you'll find a host of information there.
I'll repeat that. That's www.search-institute.org. And you'll find information about these 40 developmental assets. So we do thank the caller for that question. Before we get to other issues, other things on this developmental asset list that's the Champaign County YMCA is using so effectively with their work with young people, teens, and children, let me take just a moment, since we're about halfway through the program, to let listeners know who's coming up as a guest in later weeks. This is a live program each week on WILL AM 580. And from 5 to 6 Central Time, we have an hour of talking to people about issues of faith and ethics and values and spirituality and religion. And today we're talking about some of the ethical issues about dealing with young people and helping them grow up to be responsible adults, with Wade Hampton, who's the executive director and CEO, I guess, as well. I don't know what your exact title is, Wade.
CEO.
Okay. Chief Executive Officer of the Champaign County YMCA. Next week on Keeping the Faith, we'll be having an archive program, replaying a program from a year from last year, an interview with Reverend Dr. Jesse Douglas about his experience personally working with the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. on Martin Luther King Holiday next weekend on Sunday at 5, an interview with a close friend and colleague of Martin Luther King. On January 25, Father George Pyle will be our guest, a Greek Orthodox priest. He'll be talking about the Orthodox feast days. Carla Peterson, Eric Freifogel, Bill Cagle, John Sutherland, our guests, will be coming up later in February and March here on Keeping the Faith. These Keeping the Faith programs are supported in part by the University YMCA, where I'm the executive director. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these programs. The University Y is the oldest religious institution at the University of Illinois. It was begun 130 years ago and has been providing opportunities for students to develop their leadership abilities. And we provide many opportunities for social action, for community service that students get involved with. If you have questions about the University Y, please call us during the week. My name again is Steve Shoemaker. Call me at 337-1500. Incidentally, we are still accepting automobiles, people who want to make a charitable contribution to the University Y and might like to give us a car or a truck or something like that. Take a tax deduction for your charitable contribution, not have to bother with a trade-in or selling it yourself. We then sell those ourselves to largely to students, particularly graduate students. We sold one last week to a graduate student couple from Brazil. So if you'd like to make a donation, again, call 337-1500. You can ask for me, Steve Shoemaker. Coming up on AM 580 this week are several programs that might be of interest to listeners to Keeping the Faith. A program on affirmative action will be this Tuesday on Focus 580 at 11 o'clock. David Inge will be talking with Christopher Edley about affirmative action. Later on on the Afternoon Magazine, there's an insider's guide to the United Nations. NBC News correspondent Linda Fasulo will be talking at 1 o'clock on Monday, this coming Monday, on Afternoon Magazine. And another program might be interesting on Afternoon Magazine this Friday, particularly at 1 o'clock, Perfectly Legal, the Covert Campaign to Rig Our Tax System to Benefit the Super Rich and to Cheat Everybody Else. That'll be an interview with the Pulitzer Prize winning reporter from the New York Times, David K. Johnston. That's on Afternoon Magazine with Celeste Quinn this Friday at 1:06 about. So those are some of the programs coming up that listeners may like to try to catch. We have another caller waiting very patiently on line one. You're on Keeping the Faith with our guest, Wade Hampton. Go right ahead.
Hi. We had a son who was more difficult than his brother and sisters to rear. And two people really were outstanding during those difficult years. And one was an elderly gentleman that my son met when he was about 11 or 12 on a paper route. And they became fast friends. And I guess I just wanted to say this because I think the man and his wife had never had children. And he took my son camping and showed him how to make things. And he made an incredible difference in my son's life. And I think for elderly people in the neighborhood who think that middle-aged children, that middle school age, you know, wouldn't want to be bothered with him, that really isn't true. That I would hope that people that are retired would be looking around their neighborhood to see what child in their neighborhood they could make a difference with. And the other person I really want to name because he was so important in my son's life, and that was Don Hansen up at Central High School. Just said, if you ever have a problem, just get up and leave your class and say, I'm going to go see the dean right now. And he convinced my son to do that rather than linger and get into more trouble, and it really worked. So I'll just hang up and hope that people are looking around for kids they can mentor.
Thank you very much for that. Those two wonderful examples.
Well, I think she underlines a very important point, and part of the what the asset 40 assets point to is that this is a community issue, that this isn't about individual families, that it requires everyone to have an investment in kids. I heard a gentleman speak, you know, she mentioned Central and Don Hansen, and I know Don, and I know the fantastic work that they do over at the high school. But a couple of weeks ago, I happened to hear the chaplain of the Indianapolis Colts speak over to the students, speak there to the students. A gentleman by the name of Ken Johnson, the chaplain's name was. And Ken talked about not giving up on kids, and that every kid has the potential to do great. And in fact, he talked directly to the kids about their, that they could choose to be an eagle or choose to be a chicken. And if a chicken was mediocre, it could get off the ground, but it really couldn't fly. And then an eagle could soar, but it was a fantastic speech. But she talked about her son and some adults not giving up on her. I have a staff person at the Y that his favorite story to tell is about his own childhood and all the things that went wrong in his childhood. From drugs to acting out in school, you name it. But that his parents stuck with him and that other people stuck with him, and it made a world of difference in his life. And today, two beautiful young kids and just a fantastic role model in the community. And that's because people didn't give up. And that's a key piece, that there are folks out there who care about the community and have all different ways in which they can give. And I would encourage them to do so.
Since this program deals with issues of religion and ethics and values, what kind of values are there that underlie this concern to raise kids by the community, as you say, to become responsible adults? What are the values that the Champaign County YMCA works from?
Well, you know, because you're involved with the Y, that we're founded in Christian principles for our YMCA. That's really four core values that we talk about: honesty, caring, respect, and responsibility. And as I said to you earlier, that the goal is to raise responsible adults, and that the key thing is that we create community, that we constantly care for one another, and we do it through actions, not necessarily through words.
And although the Y comes from a Christian background, it's certainly open to people of any religion or none.
Absolutely,
okay.
Right.
Let me encourage listeners again to call. We're talking with Wade Hampton, director of the Champaign County YMCA, about the 40 developmental assets that help lead young people to an end goal of being part of a caring community. If you want to call us, 1-800-222-9455 will reach us. Toll-free in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, and we do have another caller waiting. Let's go to line one. Go right ahead.
Yes, I wanted to, this is the same one to call first. I wanted to make a comment about hospice, because everybody thinks the kids shouldn't be exposed to death, or maybe not everybody, but that used to be the way people thought. I beg to differ with that. I think children are very, very helpful. I learned this personally and professionally. They're afraid. That is true. They're afraid of canes, and they're afraid of people's change in their condition. But they're not afraid. They're very helpful, and so involve them. That's my personal philosophy, and I wanted to hear your response and your guest's response to that whole idea, because children can be implemented and used really effectively. Thank you, and I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
I think there's a variety of ways in which kids could be involved in the community. And for me, the underlying things there would be that kids are valued, that they're an important part of the community, and that there are skill sets that they bring that adults don't necessarily bring. And that's willing to invest themselves, willing to try something different, willing to push beyond comfort level.
I know in my work as a pastor, often I would see families who are dealing with someone who was perhaps in the care of hospice, and when there were children in the family, perhaps grandchildren, often they were informed, they knew what was going on, and if they were old enough to understand that, they were kept as part of the support system. And of course, nothing is more comforting, perhaps, than the touch of a child's hand on your fevered brow. So I know there have been occasions where that's been very helpful, very healthy.
Steve, if I can go back to the assets piece,
yes,
real quick. We were talking about something before the caller, and one of the assets is that young people need a religious community. that they need to spend at least 1 hour a week in some type of religious institution activity, and that religion does play, spirituality does play an important role in their life. So I wanted to point out to you that was one of the 40 assets.
How is it described in the list there? Does it say just an hour of a week involved in some religious activity?
That's correct.
Okay. So it wouldn't have to be a worship service. It could be a education, religious
Absolutely.
Education. It could be maybe even acting out in a service project or something.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
And how broadly do you find religion?
Well, you know, I hadn't thought about that, Steve, in terms of defining it. I would have left that to each person who looked at it to define. But I think the more important goal is that when you attach them to a religious activity, that you've surrounded them with more support, that hopefully that the group is working towards something positive, and that the kids are involved, and that, again, they're valued, and that they're taking an active role in something.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of these other developmental assets that are so important.
Well, why don't I give you all 40 and try to group them? I've been jumping
give
around.
Give us some groups, yeah. All right.
Okay, why don't I group them? One of the I talked about external and internal assets.
Okay.
I'll start with the external. One of the asset types is support. And support is broken down into six assets: family support, positive family communication, other adult relationships, caring neighborhoods, caring school climate, parental involvement in schooling. Okay. The second asset type is empowerment. It's community values, the youth as a resource, that the community sees youth as a resource, that they give service to others, that kids are involved in service learning type activities, and that young people feel safe. Boundaries and expectation being the third asset type, family boundaries, school boundaries, neighborhood boundaries, having adult role models, positive peer influence, and that there's high expectations both from their parents and their teachers. Then the last asset type in the external assets would be constructive use of time. The kids are involved in for three or more hours in creative activities, that they're in various different youth programs, back to the religious community piece that I mentioned to you, and that they spend some time at home, and that time doesn't have to be structured. It could be doing nothing, but that they're spending adequate time at home. Okay.
So as parents think about how to be helpful to their own kids, what about people who struggle, who may have to be working two jobs or one job that's just terribly demanding and involves travel, involves many hours away? If families don't have financial resources to provide some of these opportunities that other kids get, what can they do?
Well, I think that's where the why comes in. If there's ample activities for people to participate in at the Y, for kids to participate, there's financial scholarshiping. Any assistance that people would need, we're going to provide it and make sure the kids participate in the activity. And the Y is not alone. There's other agencies as well. So I don't want to limit this to just the Y. But find all the different support systems that you can find and get your child involved. And one caller made reference to finding other adults in their neighborhood that were involved, and I think that's important too.
And I might just say that from my work at the university, why, in helping college students get involved in their communities, we have over 250 college students who donate two hours each week in tutoring school kids in the public schools, in being a teacher's aide, in addition to being a full-time college student. And the pressure's on them to do well so they can get a job in this tough economy. I'm just continually impressed with the college students who choose to get involved at the University Y in doing these kind of service projects. It shows that they've grown up where they've been cared for, and now they're willing to reach out to somebody else.
One of the things that I've learned about young people, for this matter, adults, that when we take the time to invest in others, when we take the time to care about others, I don't know of many people that have felt bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
You usually walk away feeling even better about it.
Sure.
And for me, I've made it my career and then gotten lucky enough to be paid for it. But I don't know many people that would walk away and say, boy, that was not satisfying. I really didn't want to help anyone. So if we can get people involved for caring for one another, we can get our young people involved at an early age, much like you guys are doing over at the university, then I think you would find that the commitment is there and that folks would make it one of their priorities and be able to do all of these other things, life dreams that they have. Mm-hmm. They would be able to complete them and give back at the same time. One of my topics with my 16-year-old is that you don't get anything until you give something, mm-hmm. and that community service is part of your, ought to be part of your life plan.
The university doesn't start up again in terms of undergraduate student activity until after next weekend, after the Martin Luther King holiday. But this week we have a couple dozen students from the University of Illinois through the University Y who are out doing a alternatives break program. Mm-hmm. So they're on break right now, but they're taking a week of time that they could just be at home playing around, watching movies, or maybe even earning some money, going out doing two service projects in different mm-hmm. parts of the country. That really does happen. And as you say, they come back really feeling good about themselves.
Absolutely.
They gain something. Not only they learn something, but they also feel like they've made a contribution to someone.
Yeah. One of the common things that I see happen in the YMCA in the 20-plus years I've been involved is a person may get involved as a volunteer initially mm-hmm. with the intent of only doing one or two things, and that feels pretty good. And then they try one or two other things, and 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And before you know it, 20 years they've been there volunteering and giving because it feels good. And they don't lose anything from it. You don't lose time on your job or lose time with your family. Mm-hmm. You only gain from it. And I would encourage, this wasn't my intent to talk about this, but I would encourage people to get involved. And my primary reason for that is that whatever our community issues are, it's not going to be solved by lack of involvement. Mm-hmm. It's only going to be solved by people being involved.
We're down to our last 10 minutes. Let me encourage callers, if you do want to call us, do that soon in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, and you can ask a question or make a comment on this topic. Elsewhere, you may call us 1-800-222-9455. So 333-WILL or 1-800-222-WILL.
I had talked about the external assets. If I can rattle off the internal assets.
Of course, give us those quickly.
Again, there's four different asset types. Commitment to learning, achievement motivation, school engagement, homework, that they're spending time doing their homework, bonding to their school, that they feel good about where they go to school at, mm-hmm. and reading for pleasure.
Mm.
Next asset type is positive values. That young people value helping others, called caring. That there's equality and social justice, that they place a high value on promoting equality and reducing hunger and poverty. Mm. Integrity, honesty, responsibility, and restraint. And if I can just talk just a second about the restraint piece. And it reads that young person believe it's important not to be sexually active or to use alcohol or drugs. If you had given me the questions around this that they give to 12-year-olds, I would not have had a clue what you were talking about when I was 12.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But today, 12-year-olds have far more information
absolutely.
Than what I had as a kid.
Yeah.
Kids are far more sophisticated in their knowledge mm-hmm. than what we had. So when I read that on the test, my first reaction was, nobody's going to know about that. And then we catch up with the world you live in right now.
Huh.
So the next asset type is social competencies. That they take some time to plan and do some decision making, their interpersonal competence, cultural competence, that they feel good about their diversity in their community and cultural and racial backgrounds, resistance skills, and peaceful conflict resolution. And then the final piece is positive identity, personal power, that they believe that they have control over things that happen to them, their self-esteem, their sense of purpose, and their positive view of future. I mentioned to you that there's been over a million kids that they've done this study on, and I want to talk about the number one and number two and then the last items in terms of how kids have responded.
Sure.
When they ask kids these questions, most kids, 70% of them felt like they had family support. And then another
30 did not.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then 74% of them felt positive about their view of the future.
Hmm.
Now, looking deeper into it, even if they didn't know where they were going, they felt like it was going to be good.
Hmm.
But then on the low end, kids didn't feel like there were enough creative activities for them to be involved in. In fact, only 20% responded that they knew of enough creative activities to be in.
Really?
And that it, when you look at the whole how are kids involved, that tended to score very low. So one of the goals is to get kids in activities, to get them involved. That productive kids or kids that are involved in productive activities usually do okay. And when they're not and left to their own device, much like when I was a kid, if you let me create the fun, you wouldn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I let you create it, it is usually pretty good.
Let me follow up on a couple of these developmental assets that you've been sharing with us that have been developed by the Search Institute in Minneapolis and are used in your Y, the Champaign County Y, and many other agencies around the world. One of the things you mentioned was that students, young people, need to feel that they're in a caring school environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there have been a lot of issues around the schools in this community in recent years. Do minority students feel that they're in a caring school environment, or is that difficult if they don't see minority teachers, if they don't see minority administrators in positions of authority and responsibility?
There's no doubt that there's an achievement gap here. No doubt about that. I'm just not so sure personally that the racial makeup of teachers will determine whether that gap will be closed or not.
Uh-huh.
Now, scientifically, I can't answer that question uh-huh. for you, but personally, I don't think that that's going to be the difference between the achievement gap being closed.
What do you think might make the difference?
An investment in kids, a sincere caring, combining of all the resources of our communities, agencies and adults and kids and the whole community working toward a solution is going to be the answer, as opposed to each person individually or each entity individually coming up with answers.
Uh-huh. This community has several ways where agencies and groups and schools are trying to work together, religious institutions. Project 18 that tries to give a report, that does give a report card each year on how things are for kids 18 and under, that has people from law enforcement involved, that have people from government involved, people from the schools, people from various social agencies. And of course, United Way tries to be supportive and provide funds for groups that are trying to meet the needs for kids. Where does funding come from for your agency?
Let me go back to something you said that I don't want to skip over.
Okay, fine.
We've been pretty problem-focused. We've uh-huh. been able to say, in our community, we've been able to say, here's what's wrong. But we rarely said, here's what's right.
Hmm.
And I think that the real change comes through saying what's right, what's working for our kids, and how do we make sure that every kid get whatever that is that's working. And that when we give up this problem-focused model and go to a more positive, and that's really what the assets are about, is what works for our kids and make sure that we get more of that to them, then I think we can start seeing some real tangible results of what's happening with our kids.
Okay.
Now, in how is the Y funded? Good portion of our existence comes from membership, people mm-hmm. who choose to be members, at about 45%. 45% comes from program fees, and then that remaining 10% comes from donors. United Way is the smallest percentage of our donor base. In fact, it's 1.5% of our budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's often a myth that there's a large support mm-hmm. from United Way, and that's not a negative. United Way supports many good causes. So while I say there's not great United Way support, I only say that to clarify that it's not the difference between whether the Y exists or not exists, mm-hmm. but that it supports very specific programs.
Sure.
And that it supports many other good things, too.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about your membership, tell us who are members of the Champaign County YMCA?
Well, I like to say that from the most affluent to the poorest of poor people walk through the door of the YMCA. And what I love about the organization is that when they walk through and they jump in the swimming pool and they're all in swimming suits, you can't tell anybody apart. And as I like to joke people, is if we're going to treat you bad, we're going to treat everybody bad. And if we're going to treat you good, we're going to treat everybody good. And then everyone that walks through the door is honored or at least treated the same when they enter the organization. But you have a wide spectrum of people throughout the community. that are involved. We do an awful lot of scholarshiping. But again, you trying to discover who's who would be a very difficult process for you.
Mm-hmm. And people who want to learn more about the Y and its programs, how do they do that?
359-9622 at 9622 happens to spell YMCA, in case you're interested.
So that's 359-YMCA or 359-9622. That's within the 217 area.
That's correct. In addition to that, you can go to our website, which is www.ymca.net. You can call me at 217-239-2801, and I'll patch you to wherever you want to go.
Okay. We're talking with Wade Hampton, who's the CEO, the director of the Champaign County YMCA. Now, Wade, you've got some old buildings you deal with. What are you doing about that?
Well, we have a very aggressive strategic plan that we are working toward completing. The first phase of what we're trying to do is to build a new YMCA that would end up on Staley and Windsor Road in that area, not exactly on that corner. And that particular YMCA would be about 90,000 square feet and would involve a medical partners being part of it, and have a very strong concentration on wellness and changing the health of the community, seeing what we can do in our efforts to stamp out type 2 diabetes and prevent some of the chronic diseases that raise our health care costs and change the quality of life in our community, as well as the variety of youth programs that we've traditionally offered, to take much of our services and put them all under one roof. Then the second phase of our plan, this is kind of like a 10-year plan, the second phase of the plan would be to go back to the Church Street location and create a community center type location there. The building that currently exists on Country Fair is leased, and we would end the lease with that when we open the new facility on Staley and Windsor.
Well, I want to thank our guest today, Wade Hampton, for sharing with us about the programs and directions of the Champaign County YMCA, and also for our callers who called with questions and comments. We always appreciate that on Keeping the Faith. This is a live call-in program every week here on AM 580 WILL from 5 to 6 Central Time. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for the program, and I'm fortunate I get to talk to some very interesting people in this community and even farther away weekly, and next week we'll be playing an archive program with Reverend Dr. Jesse Douglas, who was a personal friend and colleague of Martin Luther King Jr. And on the King holiday next weekend on Sunday, we'll be playing that program at 5 o'clock about his experience of working with Martin Luther King Jr. The week following, I might just mention that Martin Luther King was a Y kid and was active in the YMCA as a child. Later guests will include Father George Pyle talking about Orthodox feast days here on Keeping the Faith. I'm Steve Shoemaker, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Being a kid has never been cooler. In fact, it's so cool, it's not just for the 12 and under set anymore. More adults watch the Cartoon Network than CNN. Care Bears are making a comeback. And Scooby-Doo underpants come in grown-up sizes. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, Born Again Kids. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at 7 on AM 580 WILL Urbana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Prairie Boat Works, Champaign; Lincoln Diagnostics Incorporated, Decatur; and Bodywork Associates in Champaign. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, mostly cloudy with the low around 30 degrees and west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with the high in the lower 40s and northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with the low in the upper 20s and west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. You're listening to WILL Urbana, made possible by the support of our listeners, the friends of WILL. To the best of our knowledge is coming up an hour from now. It's 6 p.m. Central Time. This American Life is next.